There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along for another hour of live local talk. And a reminder as well, whether you want to leave us a talkback feature or have a fast way to access our 55 hours a week of live programming in podcast form, you need to get the brand new FM Talk 106.5 app. It's free for you, waiting for you at the App Store for Apple users or the Google Play Store. For Android users, check it out. Just look for FMTALK 1065. Don't have to put a point between the 65. Don't put a point between the 6 and 5 because it messes it up. All right, so check that out. I want to get right to this hour's guest and somebody that, yeah, we were just reminiscing about years gone by in college days and not getting to catch up as much, but I find my friend in New Orleans and I find my friend not only as a person who's trying to deal with their own issues there in New Orleans after the aftermath of Ida, but also area commander of the Salvation Army of Greater New Orleans, dealing with those most in need. Chris Thornhill joins us now from New Orleans. Thanks for your time, and thanks for getting a cell signal out.
Oh, man, we are very fortunate to even have one. If anything, that's been the one constant through all of this, is that we've actually had a cell signal throughout it all. So it's helped us being able to communicate with everyone around us. In our command, as well as neighbors and friends, to let them know that they're okay and or that we're okay, and to check to see how they are as well. So it's been a good thing.
That is good because there's some people in other services that have been really having a tough time getting cellular communication, even text out over in your area. Let's talk about that and talk about New Orleans as it sits. I mean, we've been watching it from Mobile. Obviously, so many of us from here have friends and family that are in Southeast Louisiana and getting in communication. Different stories, you know, we see, well, the levees held, but what does it look like in New Orleans right now? What's tree damage like? What's damage to homes? What about your home?
Well, you know, on a personal level, our home is actually all right. You know, one of the challenges we had from last year's hurricane season was getting service out to us because of all of the damage from Hurricane Laura over on the west side of the state in Lake Charles and their surrounding areas. So that was a challenge for us, and I almost have to sit back and laugh a little bit. At our area command here in downtown New Orleans, we had fencing all the way around our command that was torn down. We had it built up. I went out yesterday to assess the damage, and yeah, that fence is gone again. So it's just like we rewound the calendar and hit play again, and everything from Hurricane Zeta happened again. You know, we've lost HVAC systems and fencing, you know, and flooding. Obviously, you know, with hurricanes, you're going to have water around, but. You know, a pre-storm, everyone was sort of scrambling because of the speed at which Ida was coming in and some of the uncertainty as far as where it was going. But once we found out that, you know, what the line was looking like, everyone started to shore up. And I was really impressed with how the city and the surrounding parishes came together and just shored up their properties and everyone in place to weather the storm. So to speak. So it really speaks to the community of New Orleans and how quickly we were able to get everything ready to go.
Yeah, people talk about, on the flooding side of this, think about New Orleans as, I guess, monolithic in being below sea level, but that's not true. I mean, if you're in the French Quarter is higher and you look at different places in the city that are higher than others, you know, so they don't risk flooding as much. And then, but then you look at somewhere like Laplace and what happened there with flooding, it's massive. So there's, I guess, different stories neighborhood by neighborhood or area of town.
Exactly. You know, seeing what happened over at Laplace just breaks so hard. I mean, we were watching some of the local news, and you could see the weathercaster, you know, the weather staff there. They were just in tears and frantic over what was happening there. Right now, you know, in New Orleans proper with the levee system, they put a lot of – they invested a whole lot of money into the rebuilding of the levee system, and from what we've seen so far, you know, I don't want to knock on wood or anything, but from what we've seen, the levees have held, and people are moving around. The causeway's opened up again, so that helps with traffic from the North Shore down to the South Shore, which has been wonderful. The issue that we're having right now, and you know, they're telling the story is really power. The entire city of New Orleans is pretty much without power, with very small pockets around, either on generator power or there. It's just a dead stick as far as that goes. We live up on the North Shore, and it's the same story. It's there's really limited power anywhere and everywhere. If you can find a place that has gas, you will see literally miles of cars waiting to get gas. So, you know, it's just life after a major hurricane. It's not fun, but one thing that I feel good about is that the Salvation Army is here in the greater New Orleans area serving our homeless population right now. And then starting in the morning, we will have 18 mobile canteen units going throughout the service area of the greater New Orleans area to serve hot meals and provide support to those affected through Hurricane Ida. So I'm real happy with that.
You know, Chris, people react like this when there's a disaster and they're thinking about here in Mobile and Baldwin counties and they want to help. And, you know, you get inundated with this group and that group and so many people wanting to do good. But kind of the branding of the Salvation Army gives people confidence in the ability to help out there because folks here want to, you know, they want to help everybody, whether it's right. Orleans or Jefferson and Plaquemines or St. Bernard or St. Tammany Parish. How do they do that? I mean, if they're donating, what do y'all need there if they're going to kind of help out? If you know, talking about these mobile canteens, but what do you need to fill the canteens and fuel y'all's, service to others?
Well, it almost sounds cliche when we start doing these type of appeals or telling the story of the Army. How can you best help what we're doing? And people can draw back and be very cynical when the first answer is send money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with the Salvation Army, I can tell you from the 20 plus years of experience that I've had as an active officer, and I've been in the Salvation Army my whole life. My parents are Salvation Army officers. My wife and I have been Salvation Army officers for, like I said, 20 plus years. And what I can tell you, and I know what people say online, and you see it in social media all over the place, very cynical as far as how we operate. But the truth is 100% of the monies that are donated to the Salvation Army, definitely in times of disaster and in other areas as well, but in this specific time, in times of disaster, 100% goes straight to direct service to the people affected through the disaster in which they donate.
It's pretty incredible that you can allocate those resources and do that. And, you know, it's helping out, you know, Salvation Army 24/7, helping out those most in need. And then on days like this and the weeks to come, those numbers swell. You talk about helping out, you know, with the homeless folks in New Orleans. But beyond that, you're going to, you know what, not trying to be flippant about it, but there's a bunch of people now that are added to the homeless population in New Orleans because their home was damaged so much that they can't go in there.
Exactly. One of the challenges we had, again, you know, we live up on the North Shore. So, coming down to New Orleans, it was really kind of funny. Saturday when we were coming down to prepare for what we were going to do, we were like the only people heading south. The northbound was jacked full of cars, and we were like the only ones heading south. You know, we were the, they're probably looking at us kind of funny. You know, are they really right to do that? Well, we came and we've been living with our homeless clients for the last few days to be with them, to take care of them, to make sure that they are fed, to make sure that they are safe in this time of disaster. Because even in a hurricane, we still operate a 270-plus bed Center of Hope shelter transition program in downtown New Orleans. So we had individuals that did not leave the area, that had no other place to go. So they came with me. And we've been living with them in our adult rehabilitation center for the last few days. And we're hoping to get back over to the Center of Hope in the very near future. But, you know, we've been here with them. And not everyone is prepared to do that. You know, what is it like to live with your homeless clients? Well, it's not a lot of fun for us, and it's not a lot of fun for them either. But what we do know is that they're safe, and that we're watching over them to make sure that they're okay. And there are more. And we've had an influx of individuals who have lost everything, who needed a place to go, and we've opened the doors to make sure that they have a safe place as well. So it's not just a temper. It's, you know, it's just not something that we're flipping about. You know, we take this and we take our jobs and our mission very serious in the Salvation Army and to serve those who desperately need help. We had a lady came up to me and my wife the other day, and we were just sitting around the table discussing, you know, plans of action. And she said, I want to thank you because you've been our constant. You know, in times of disaster, you don't get a constant. You don't get to always have someone to be right there for you. But they said, you've been right here with us. And so we thank you for that. So, you know, it's definitely not, I don't do it for the money. I do it because we love people. So that's some of the things that we've experienced. And like I said earlier, tomorrow we start with 18 full canteens to go out and meet need right where people need it. And we're getting an influx of locations where individuals need food, or they may need just someone to talk to. And that's one of the things about the Salvation Army. We offer an ear. Sometimes you just need to cry, and we can be that shoulder that you can cry on, but it also brings hope. And if there's anything that I love about the Army is that people receive hope from everything that we do. And we can provide that hope through our spiritual beliefs, yes, but also knowing that everything that people give us or that donate to us goes right back out to support them.
Yeah, and I think that's where people, their emotions now, they want to make sure they're helping out those folks. You're just joining us, talking to Chris Thornhill, Area Commander at the Salvation Army of Greater New Orleans, and dealing with the situation and the continuing situation. You talk about those canteens going out, the 18. Are you going by individual homes? You mentioned that, or do you go to a centralized area and the people come to you? How do you operate that, Chris?
Well, the beautiful thing about a mobile canteen is, well, not to sound that way, but you know,
it's mobile. Yeah.
So we can actually go out and meet human need right where they need it. A lot of times, what we will do is we will have a static location, and that will be in a general vicinity of where we know pockets of need are. And we've reached out to the city and reached out to local parishes to find out, where do you need food? Where do you need meals? And they will give us a location. Sometimes it's a Walmart parking lot. Sometimes it is a grocery store parking lot, something of that nature. And then there are those moments when there may not be a specific location. So we kind of put those canteens in roam mode, and they will roam into different neighborhoods to provide meals for the day for those individuals. It's a way in which we can make a deeper impact and put a deeper footprint on our levels of service.
Okay.
So when those canteens come out, they're ready to go, and they can go pretty much anywhere and everywhere.
You know, all of us know what it's like here that have lived in our area for a while, what it's like after a storm and you're busting your hump all day, cleaning up, fixing, trying to put tarps on, you know, just trying to put your life back together. The idea of having that meal is a big deal. And I'm not trying to, you know, I hope it's a lot faster, but estimates I'm hearing, weeks, I mean, plural, they've discussed for power to get back on throughout New Orleans.
It's not been, you know, much more encouraging for the news that we've heard as well. Driving up, and I had to drive up to the North Shore earlier today, up into the Mandeville Covington area, and it encouraged me. I mean, I was seeing a parking lot full of, you know, utility trucks, and I saw them lining up and down the road. I've seen them driving around all over the New Orleans, you know, city proper area. So they are making efforts, and they're going to work as hard as they can. But when you've had, you know, close to a million customers without power, whether it be in CLECO or energy, that's a lot of work, and that's going to just take time. And if there's anything that we're going to have to give right now in the New Orleans area, it's going to be patience.
Yeah,
you know, we're just going to be patient with them and let them work the process, and we know that they're going to do it as quickly and as safely as they can.
Well said. Take a second there. I know your focus there is on, you know, Greater New Orleans, although let's talk about Greater New Orleans, because you mentioned North Shore and a couple other friends other than you of mine that live up there. Yeah, Covington, how's it look there? I mean, what is, kind of give us a, you know, a generalized run through of what it looks like there on the North Shore.
Well, you know, there are some portions on some of the smaller highways, like one of the highways that we actually live off of is Highway 22 that goes east and west off of the outside the lake, and it's wet in some areas. You can see where the flooding has occurred, and we know where those flooding areas are. But I did receive some encouraging news about the river that goes through Covington. Of course, the name escapes me
is
right now.
Is that the Chifuncto?
So where
is that?
Could,
is,
what?
Is that Chifuncto?
And want to get online, or they just prefer to donate online? They can go to helpsalvationarmy.org. That's all one phrase, helpsalvationarmy.org, and then just follow the prompts at that point, and they can earmark it for hurricane relief or Hurricane Ida relief, and it will go immediately to what we're doing.
Very
and
good.
When we ask for funds to do what we do, it really gives us the flexibility to address needs on an individual level. Yes, we're doing mass feeding, and so that may not seem so individual, but if we have those pockets of need that are not within the normal operation of what we do, and I can't explain what that might be, you know, everything is going to be different, we can address those needs at that time. And that just gives us some flexibility in how we serve the people. And that's really the only reason why we even ask for funding. If everything was static, are sterile in how we do it, we would just ask for, you know, insert whatever that might be.
Right. You have to be able to be flexible for that. And what we're going to do is continue this conversation going forward in the days and weeks. We know it takes to start this recovery process and make sure we're getting you the help you need. Chris Thornhill, Area Commander of Salvation Army at Greater New Orleans, thank you for your time, and God bless what y'all are doing and those folks that you're serving.
Hey, Sean, thank you. It's so good to catch up with you, man. We really need to get together sometime soon.
We will do it and reminisce of the college days of the past at the University of Alabama. There he is, y'all. Chris Thornhill, we're coming right back.